This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Who's on Second? Episode 15, Transformers. Hi, I'm Wayne McPhail, and this is Who's on Second, a podcast about educators and nonprofits who have jacked into the online 3D community called Second Life. This time out, something a little bit different. I don't have a guest this week, but I had spent a really busy week in Second Life helping the Faculty of Engineering at McMaster University up here in Hamilton, Ontario, launch Cafe Fireball on Info Island 2. And then just on the weekend, I was working with Riversong Garden in Better World Island to get some land for Rabble.ca, which is an organization that I'm on the board of. And Rabble.ca is Canada's largest online alternative news source. And we're going to be doing some interesting stuff on Better World Island, both within the world and then reporting on it back onto the Rabble.ca site. Now, Rabble.ca was started by Judy Rebick, who is a well-known Canadian feminist and author, and she currently holds the Sam Gindin Chair in Social Justice and Democracy at Ryerson University. And just a little while ago, last week in fact, we were talking about Second Life and about some of her travels, and I thought it would be interesting to just sort of start off my discussion of what I've been thinking about with that lunch. Judy's been down to Bolivia a couple of times recently, and she's been learning how the Indigenous Movement Towards Socialism, or MAS Party, that's led by President Evo Morales down there, is reforming the government of Bolivia based on some traditional principles of the people. And she was also in Nairobi and attended the World Social Forum and heard some young slum-dwelling youth there use hip-hop to deliver political messages really powerfully. And both those things resonated for her, because she's working on a book about how the traditional tools of communication and the use of hip-hop and social media and the principles of open-source software might be an indicator of some sort of unstoppable shift in the way people and countries and organizations govern themselves. And she had during her travels what she calls transformational moments, experiences that opened her up to whole new ways of looking at problems, opportunities, and the world and her life. And so our conversation turned to Second Life, a world that Judy hasn't explored yet, but she's really, really interested in. And I told her I had not yet had any transformational moments in Second Life, which I found odd because here was a place where almost anything was possible. But not much of it was different than the real world. And here's why that struck me that way. You know, outside of the Info Island archipelago, much of Second Life is about sex and shopping and clubbing and acquisition and selling of often frivolous goods. I mean, really, how could you have something more silly than a Second Life urinal? But you can buy them. So sometimes I feel like Info Island is a Carnegie library dropped by accident in the middle of an Amsterdam side street. And even within our little island cluster of nonprofit and education, sometimes things are so sadly like the real world that I worry that we lack the imagination to move beyond what we know. And take meetings, for example. This is a really good example, I think. You know, the most frequent ones I've attended are a variety of gaily clad avatars sitting in a circle typing at one another, and linear agendas are moved through extremely slowly, sort of painfully slowly sometimes. And, you know, and I talked about this in a previous podcast when I was talking to Bill Weaver and about the space that he's building from out west in BC and from Hollyhock Center, and how it must be possible to use the geography of Second Life and the geography of place, and maybe even some of the Indigenous meeting methods like the Samoan Circle we talked about, to meet better in this better space. And we don't seem to do that yet. That said, I found that the sort of party that we had for Cafe Fireball was a lot of fun. It struck me when I was looking at all the speech balloons over people's heads that it was like watching this sort of frenetic comic book or reading this frenetic comic book, and that was kind of fun. But the meetings themselves don't seem to have moved much beyond the sort of Robert's Rules of Order, very traditional, stiff kinds of meetings, or at least the ones that I've experienced so far in Second Life. And so that worries me. And then I thought back to the podcast that I did with John Amberton from the CDC, where he was saying that, you know, we still make buildings with roofs on them in a place where it doesn't rain. And that really struck home to me, because it really made me think, you know, that we have such an opportunity to do good, and more importantly, to do good in a new way. And I'm not sure we're always exploring it as fully as possible. And it also made me think, because I've been thinking a lot about newspapers. I just taught a course at Mohawk College here in Hamilton, Ontario, about online writing. And we're talking about social media and newspapers, and how it's unfortunate that newspapers, particularly in Canada, really haven't engaged with social media very effectively online. And in the course of the class, you know, I was talking to my students about how to avoid shovelware and brochureware. And what I mean by those are taking an old medium, newspapers, and just sort of dumping them online and saying, there, we're done. We've done our job. We're communicating in this online medium. We're really new media now. And of course, that doesn't really work, because online medium isn't about broadcast. It's about conversation. And newspapers that haven't learned how to effectively engender conversation and to use content as a catalyst for community sort of fail online. And I really worry sometimes when I look around Second Life that we're sort of failing to make use of Second Life the way it could be made use of. Now, it's not an old medium. It's only 2 years old. So we've got a lot of learning to do. And there is a lot of learning going on. I'm seeing some really exciting things in Second Life. But for the most part, I'm seeing a lot of ordinary things, a lot of real world things just sort of shoveled onto Second Life. And there's sort of brochureware. And I'm as guilty of it as anyone. You know, when I created Cafe Fireball, I put a roof on it. So I'm not excluding myself from this problem. It's certainly something that I think we all need to wrestle with and challenge ourselves to do things in Second Life that couldn't be done in any other medium. Because otherwise, really, what's the point? And I go back to the meetings. I mean, if all we're doing is instant messaging with one another, but we're, you know, some of us are wearing squirrel suits, you know, is that really making optimal use of the geography of the place and of the bandwidth that we're consuming to communicate with one another if we don't add any more value to the conversation and to the relationship than that? And the other thing that struck me from my adventures this week was how quite dreadful the Second Life experience is for newcomers. Many of the people who came into Second Life for the Cafe Fireball party or opening from McMaster University had never been in Second Life before. And these are very bright people, very intelligent people, and they had a terrible time trying to understand how to get clothes, put on clothes, why they couldn't have clothes immediately, what it meant to buy clothes in Second Life, how to put on shoes, how to move, how to go up a staircase. And they just found the whole thing a bit baffling and frankly frustrating, because they had trouble logging in, they had trouble using search, and search, I think we all agree, is one of the weakest parts of Second Life right now. And, you know, it really struck me on the weekend, too, when I was doing some work on the Rabble space, that fundamentally, I think right now, I think it would be fair to say the technology of Second Life is sort of broken. It sort of doesn't really work. And we cut it a lot of slack as people who have been there for a while. Now, I'm not an old timer. I've only been there for a few months, but you know, I've sort of gotten used to the fact that prims don't resolve the way they should, or they move, or people dump things places and you can't move them, or your wall moves, or your texture doesn't apply, or you suddenly go flying off in a different direction than what you wanted to do, or there's lag, or there's all manner of craziness that goes on. And we cut that a lot of slack, but for someone coming to the space for the first time, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's a dreadful user experience. And so the other thing that struck me and I wanted to raise, and I'd love to get feedback about my thoughts here, is I think we need to be really careful about what we wish for in Second Life. We can wish for, as Lorelei did in the last podcast, resolving HTML on a prim. You know, we can hope for effective voice and stuff. But what I worry about with that, and those are all lovely things to wish for, and I I wish they were here now, and I wish they worked. But right now, the fundamental tools of Second Life, which is to bring three-dimensional space to life and in control of users, doesn't work. Doesn't work a lot of the time. Partially that has to do with the growing pains, and partially I just think there may be some fundamental issues around the tools. And I think we need to make sure that works first before we start layering on the ability for Second Life to become a browser, because Second Life isn't Firefox. And if we want to resolve HTML on a prim, then we're going to want to resolve Flash and JavaScript. And pretty soon, Second Life is going to be chasing the browser ball or the Skype ball if we want it to be good for voice. And I think it's got enough balls to juggle and chase right now without having to worry about those other things. So I really worry that it's growing too fast, both in terms of the number of people coming on board and the number of things that we expect it to do. And maybe since we don't know how to use the tools we have to create new things all the time, and I would argue that's true because, as I said, a lot of what I see in terms of meeting space and actual space that's created is ordinary and replicating the real world and referencing the real world too often. Maybe we should spend more time focusing on making new use of existing tools rather than asking for new tools in a new space. And I really think that that could be valuable and might give people a better user experience all around. So, you know, I don't mean to be really negative, but I really, over the past week, have really been thinking about this a lot, that we got to be careful what we wish for, because it just may be that what we get is even more broken than what we have. And I don't think that would be good for anybody and for new tools. And I worry because, you know, I'm in the business of building stuff in Second Life. Not all of my business is Second Life, certainly. I do a lot of traditional marketing and communications work, but a good chunk of what I do these days is building in Second Life and introducing clients to Second Life. And I worry that I'm introducing them to a broken environment and that it may not be sustainable and that it doesn't scale well. And all those things worry me from a professional point of view, but also from the point of view of somebody who really enjoys the idea of Second Life and the possibilities that it opens up. And I guess finally, to bring this full circle, you know, I would love to see Second Life introduce transformative experiences to me and to all of you and to newcomers. And I worry that if it continually is kludgy and laggy and ordinary, that there won't be those transformative opportunities and the opportunities to really make a change in people's lives and a change in people's viewpoints. And we have some of those now. I don't mean to deny that we don't. I mean, I think that some of the work that Inkenzo is doing, I think that Camp Darfur, spaces like that can be transformative and are powerful, but they're not quite there yet in the way that I think we would all like them to be. And there's not enough of them. There's not enough Inkenzos in Second Life. There's not enough Camp Darfurs. There's not enough Riversong Gardens. You know, there's not enough Lorelei Junos and Carolina Keats. And, you know, it would be great if there were. And hopefully more of us will come on board and more of us will be able to do fascinating, wonderful, engaging, and transformative things. I mean, that's certainly my wish for Second Life. Not a wish fulfilled this week, but one that I hope for. And I would love your feedback about my thoughts. And thank you for letting me share them with you. And I hope that you'll stay tuned and we'll have a new guest coming next week. Thanks for listening. I'm Wayne McPhail for Who's on Second. Please send me your feedback at wmcphail@gmail.com. Thanks. Bye-bye.